AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Off the ball, GAA.
What do you actually think you're going to be doing in this game, you know? And I was like, well, something along the lines of standing on the edge of the square, catching balls, turning around and putting them in the back of the net, no?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we look ahead to our live commentary game in the Conference League with Crystal Palace and Dublin to take on Shelburne. We'll have the latest from Reykjavik, where Ben Symes is for us ahead of Shamrock Rovers' crucial game against Breidablik. And with Evan Ferguson in Glasgow to take on Celtic for Roma, we get the view from Italy to see what's gone wrong for the Meathman. But first, at tonight's game at Talbot Stadium, Shelburne are still looking for their first goal in the league phase of the Conference League. Shells have picked up 1 point so far, but it would be fair to say their performances have probably deserved more than 1 point. They conceded 2 goals in the last 20 minutes away to AZ Alkmaar last time out. Joey O'Brien says he wants his side to be better in possession.
Yeah, there was a lot of positives. I think we started really well in the game. I think that fourth shot on target didn't come until the second half. So going away from home and to a European game and having that was really good. I felt in possession, we didn't show our real quality and how good we are as players. So that's a big thing for me tomorrow, that the lads embrace the challenge and show how good we are in possession. So that was an area of improvement. And ultimately, here, when we get chances, make sure we take them.
And O'Brien wants his players to focus on their own jobs rather than concentrate too much on the opposition.
Yeah, of course, it'd be brilliant. But here, look again, you can't really think like that. It's just about performance, you know. That's how I was as a player, and that's how I coach sort of thing. It's just about yourself and making sure your own performance, you nail it out on the pitch tomorrow night. That's what I was just banging home to the lads about for the last few days, really. Being proud of their own journey, how they got to this stage, what they've achieved in their own careers to get here, and go out and show it tomorrow night.
O'Brien was also asked about the pressure of facing a Premier League team, and he told reporters what actual pressure is.
Yeah, but again, here, it's not words that they'll ever hear me speak about fear in football. Like for me, as I said, pressure in football and stuff like that, it's not pressure, it's an absolute privilege to be in this situation. Here, people talk about these games having pressure on them. Here, I'll use something there today to the lads. Pressure is, I read a story about a chap over in Gaza going to look for food for his family, wondering whether he came back to get enough food for his family or his family was still going to be alive. That's pressure. This for me isn't pressure. It's a great opportunity for us as a football club and the lads as players to really go out in front of, I think it's sold out, so a sold out crowd to really show how good footballers they are and that they belong on the pitch.
Last season's FA Cup winners Crystal Palace need to pick up points of their own. The Eagles have won 2 and lost 2 in their first 4 games and will be hoping to avoid the playoff round by securing a top 8 place, which is 2 games less in the new year. Manager Oliver Glasner says it's vital his side pick up the 3 points.
No, I think to be among the top 8 we need more than 3 points. But it's right now when I see our schedule and it's just important to get qualified, and if we have to play the knockout, the qualification round end of February, I don't worry about it because it's so far away, but it would be a little bit easier maybe to rest 10 or 12 players for the Coupes game next week, because again, I won't start anybody on Thursday evening and on Saturday evening because I feel responsible for the players' farewell, and this would make a little bit easier with a win, and then if it is, we take the qualification end of February, but now again it's when you come with 15 players and you have 10 games in 3 weeks, then it's we have to focus on this period and not what is end of February or even end of May, so that's so far away, and that doesn't matter. So for this, it's important to get the win.
The Austrian paid credit to Shell's defensive structure and Irish football as a whole.
Oh yes, first of all, I think it's also a little bit tricky for Shelburne or for the Irish clubs because the season already ended, and maybe you are not in this rhythm anymore, and you have to play 2 more games. And yeah, Shelburne ended the season on the 3rd place, and it's again it's a very a very physical team. Yeah. Good, very good defensive structure. Yeah. So again, not so easy to find space and gaps and defending the box very well. And I think it's also I don't know honestly how the last years were for Irish football, have been for Irish football, but that two teams playing Conference League now, and I think it's also a good achievement because I'm coming from Austria, and in Austria we had one team playing the qualification in the Conference League and did not qualify, so it's not so easy sometimes, so I think they're doing well and they are progressing, and it also shows that Irish football and I'm told very often is that many English internationals or internationals for England could also play for Ireland because they have relatives or grandparents or parents here. So doing great. And again, if you have the chance, and Ireland is maybe as big as Austria from the population, then it's always a huge achievement when you can represent your country at the World Cup, and so it looks like that the football is progressing in Ireland, and that's what pleases me always and everywhere, because I love football, and it's good because then all the children have something better to do than watching in their phones and then playing outside.
Jean-Philippe Mateta and Daniel Munoz will both miss out for Palace tonight due to injury. Shells have to do without James Norris due to suspension. Kickoff is 8 o'clock. You can hear live commentary on the game on Off the Ball from 7 o'clock with Stephen Doyle and Keith Tracy.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Shamrock Rovers are in Iceland to take on Breiðablik, and like Shells, have to win to have any chance of finishing in the top 24 for the second season in a row. The Icelandic side beat Stephen Bradley's team in 2023 in the Champions League qualifiers. Tonight's clash will be where the Iceland national team play. Rovers can expect low temperatures there. Breiðablik have 2 points. They've won more than Rovers, so both teams have to win to stay in the competition. Rovers are without Danny Mondroyu, Aaron McInniff and Josh Honohan through injury. Stephen Bradley is expecting a tough game.
Yeah, we've obviously watched the last few games. I think it was important to do that considering the change. But what hasn't changed is the players that they have. They're still the same type of players with the same quality. So the majority of them are still here from when we played. They obviously beat us. So we know their qualities. I don't think a manager coming in so recent is going to have time to really change and play how they would like to play. But I think the big thing is that the players that the majority of them, sorry, that were here a couple of years back are still here, and they're good players and they have good quality, so it'd be a difficult game.
Ireland boss Heimir Hallgrímsson from Iceland was expected to be at the game tonight, but he hasn't travelled due to a storm in Iceland. Off the Ball's Ben Symes asked Bradley what his relationship is like with Hallgrímsson.
You said that you didn't hear directly from Heimir himself, he went to the media. Do you have any recent contact with him?
No. Yeah, the chat should have been done some time back, you know. I think everyone involved in the league wants players from the league around the international setup. But like I said before, any discussions like that should be had with the managers within the league before it's spoken out in public, and for me that's not right and never will be.
New Celtic boss Wilfred Nancy admits he doesn't take notice of what people say about him. He lost his first match in charge last weekend against Hearts, and he says there'll always be people who don't agree with his methods.
On Twitter, I cut everything regarding my name, regarding the club, regarding what people can say, because they have the right to say something. This is part of the job. That's why we study for that.
Celtic defender Austin Trusty believes the new manager has the right mentality to succeed at the club. Trusty says he's confident Nancy understands what's expected of him at the Scottish Champions.
He's come in with a positive mindset and he wants to win. And that's what this job is about. That's what this whole organization is about. It's coming in the win. And that's the mentality he has.
Kickoff tonight is 5:45. You'll get updates from Ben Symes from 7 o'clock on Off the Ball with Owen Sheehan. Elsewhere in Europe tonight, Evan Ferguson is with Roma in Glasgow to take on Celtic at Celtic Park in the Europa League. Gazzetta dello Sport have been reporting that Ferguson will return to Brighton in January. And on Thursday morning's Off the Ball breakfast, Italian football journalist Daniele Fisichella joined Colin Buhig and questioned Ferguson's impact with the Italian giants.
You have to pay fees in installments, Daniele, because it does sound like a drastic move here. Like you mentioned, it's only one goal and one assist in 14 games. But if you look at Roma in the Serie A table, so they're fourth, they're in the Champions League places, which is great. But they have by far the fewest goals scored around the top of the league.
And that is the problem.
They only have 15 goals in 14 games. Now, you're talking about a striker who's only contributed to one of those goals. However, they're not festooned with loads of attackers. So why would you send someone back unless there's financial implication of keeping him?
To bring someone else in.
Right.
That is the issue. And I think they've already got the name lined up, who will be Joshua Zirkzee. He's on top of the list. He's a player that knows Serie A well, having played at Bologna a couple of seasons, that Gasperini likes. But besides the crude numbers, goals and assists, there are other numbers that really read badly for Evan Ferguson. Only 17.43 successful passes per 90 minutes. That's the fifth worst record among Roma players so far in Serie A. And that's, I think, really what's condemning Ferguson. He's not contributing to the play a lot. Only 7 successful passes per 90 minutes in the final third. That's where it really matters. No, that's where really a striker can impact the game. Only 7 for 90 minutes is not much. So even if he hasn't started only four games in Serie A, if you make it across the 90 minutes average, yeah, it's very, very poor. And then another one that I looked up this morning, only 1 out of 4 aerial duels won in Serie A per 90 minutes. So he loses 3 aerial duels every 4 of them. And again, for somebody of his stature, for somebody of his physique, it's way too poor. And that goes beyond his contribution in terms of goals, of XG, expected goals. Again, very, very poor. 0.21 XG per 90 minutes in Serie A. 0.88 shots on target per 90 minutes played. Now, this is a lot of numbers. But, you know, when you see them really compare to the rest of the Roma players, they don't stack up well because he's not top in any of these metrics. And I think the passes, the numbers of duels won, that's what the comments of probably Gasperini come from. That attitude, the working hard. I mean, it's not for a lack of trying. Don't get me wrong. I think he does try, but it simply is not coming off for him. He's had an injury. He's been a lack. He's had an ankle injury in mid-October. But now, with Artem Dovbyk out because he picked up an injury himself, we would have expected Ferguson to start more games and to be more incisive. In the last few games, he played 45 minutes against Napoli, got subbed off in the first half, touched the ball only 20 times, no duels won. Last week, he came at Cagliari with Roma under the pump because they were playing with 10 men, played 30 minutes, again, lost possession 6 times, touched the ball only 16 times, no shots, only 1 duel won. And I think, you know, Italian media perhaps with him have been even too kind, I would say. In both games, he has received a mark of 5.5 out of 10. Now, 5.5 out of 10, if you're at school, you pass. You'll be fine. You'll go home and say, yeah, I'm all right. But it's not great. It's not great. And on average, look, I know Fantasy League is not a perfect science, but his average mark is 6.06. So again, he's a pass. He scrapes a pass. But for somebody with those numbers, I think probably Italian media, Italian journalists who mark him every week, and I follow him every week as well, probably been a bit generous.
Robbie Keane's Ferencváros take on Rangers in the Europa League as well. Callum O'Dowda has returned from injury. He could be back in the starting 11. And being coach of Hungary's biggest club, Keane was asked about Troy Parrott's momentous goal in Budapest in the World Cup qualifiers.
Very good. Obviously, they don't feel the same way. Listen, it was, of course, I'm Irish. I was back home watching the game with my kids. So you can imagine what they were like. Also, I was gutted for my players also in terms of, because what it's like to play in a World Cup, you know. I've been there. And they don't come around very often. we're lucky we've got a few players in the squad. Like Alex Tuff, for example, he's only 20 years of age. So I'm sure with the national team here, with the players that they have, there's only a matter of time before they get to a major tournament.
Nottingham Forest boss Sean Dyche admits having two stars on the badge means there's an expectation they'll go far in Europe this season. The former European champions are away to Utrecht. Forest are struggling in the Premier League, but Dyche says that doesn't mean his team will prioritise one competition over the other.
I want the players to have a mentality. Every game's important, whether it's a pre-season friendly, or whether it's playing in the Europa League or playing in the Premier League. Every game's important. I know that sounds a Nirvana thinker, but you want players, in my opinion, every time they wear the shirt, we give a lot, and I think that's where we're trying to get to.
However, Dyche is expected to make wholesale changes to a starting 11 ahead of a busy domestic period.
When I got here, I spoke to the squad, albeit we had lots of injuries then and some are getting back fit, but about a squad mentality. You know, it is going to need that with all this these games coming, particularly over this winter period. So the squad players have shown they are up for it with their performances. If they haven't played in the Premier League, they've delivered in this competition.
Elsewhere tonight, an in-form Aston Villa are in Switzerland to take on Basel. Last night in the Champions League, Manchester City boosted their chances of securing a top eight place as they hit back to beat Real Madrid 2-1 at the Bernabeu. Pep Guardiola's side recovered from going a goal down to take all 3 points.
Really pleased because now we have 13 points, two games left. We were able to take it, both games, at least 4 points. We will be apparently in top eight, that is we want.
Goals from Nico O'Reilly and Erling Haaland helped City get that 2-1 win. Guardiola says his players have to keep improving though.
Don't misunderstand me, winning Bernabeu is a big, big task. Really, really, really big task, especially in this competition, the Champions League. But at the same time, I don't know, in February, March, we were able to go through the level to arrive really, really semi-finals, finals, require better performance than today, that's for sure. We will work on it.
Real Madrid boss Xabi Alonso believes his players remain 100% behind him despite the loss. Some reports suggest the Spaniard could be about to lose his job after only 6 months in charge. Alonso says he thought his side produced a display full of fight.
Already answered a few times. I think that the performance has been very intense, really professional. We know it was Champions League level game and they have given their best. So today, from my side, no complaints at all from anything. It's hard to take another defeat, but have tried till the end.
Newcastle conceded late on the draw 2-2 away to Bayer Leverkusen. Manager Eddie Howe says they gave themselves a mountain to climb after going behind early on.
I thought the lads did really well to respond to that. But we'd done the hard work, we're in front, and then it's a case that we have to defend well, and yeah, we didn't for that moment.
Howe says the squad have to believe they have what it takes to progress to the knockout stages of the competition.
When we started the Champions League campaign, if we thought it was going to be easy, I think we're in the wrong competition. It's playing very, very good teams. We're travelling. The game schedule that we've got, all these things you add together makes it a challenging period for us, but I think the players are navigating it really well. I think we are playing with a clear identity and a plan.
Arsenal have a 3-point lead at the top and are the only side with 6 wins from 6. The Gunners won 3-0 away to Club Brugge. Manager Mikel Arteta was also delighted to see striker Gabriel Jesus back from a long injury layoff.
For 11 months he's been fighting against another very difficult injury, and to see him back with that smile, with that energy and with that quality in his first performance with us, it's something really impressive.
Noni Madueke scored 2 goals before Gabriel Martinelli got a 3rd goal to become the first Arsenal player to score in 5 Champions League games in a row. Madueke was given the nod to start ahead of Bukayo Saka last night in Belgium. Arteta says the competition between the pair in that position can only improve both England internationals.
They both have different qualities as well, and it's great because we're going to need them. We are playing every 3 days and plays with that freshness and with that bite in the teeth as well, understanding that they have to perform at their level, and this is the standards that we set. It's something really good.
Owen Sheehan was joined by Owen Doyle last night on the football show, and they spoke about the Mohamed Salah situation. And with so much upheaval at Liverpool during the summer and the passing of teammate Diogo Jota, Doyle says that Salah needs to be cut some slack.
For Mo Salah to not play 3 games, I think that is a bit of an agenda from the club there. I think that's a bit of a, right, this fella, if we're going to cash in on this fella, we need to do this now. But I think if they're going to cash in on him, they cash in on him now while his legs haven't really gone. And now I know there's been that has been labelled that his legs are gone. There's no way his legs are gone in 3 months. It doesn't happen. And I think if you look at how he played last year, he's actually probably slightly adapted his game last year, because just look at the assists. Like, he became a creator as well as a finisher, you know. Now all that has stopped this year, but the team has changed so much for him, like so much. Now, don't get me wrong, like, he hasn't played well. He hasn't played well, but hardly any of them have. Szoboszlai aside, maybe Gakpo to a lesser point. They've all had off times. Now, to me, like, what's the reason behind that? Like, why are Liverpool in this? For me, it's just absolutely, like, 100% the Diogo Jota situation. I can't fathom anyone dismissing that in the sense of the game itself is highly, highly played on the back of people's emotions. You use your emotions to get up for games. You use your emotions in every aspect, even in training, just to kind of get through things. They're heavily, heavily invested in. And then the biggest emotion of all, grief, comes across you. That's one in a game that's won and lost on 1% margins across everything you do in your day-to-day life regarding training as a unit, as a team, and then trying to implement that on the match day. Having grief come over people, like a group of players, it's just, I can't fathom how anyone can look elsewhere of what the problems are here. And it's not something that can be fixed as a unit either. It's not as if, like, you could say to the lads, not that they do it these days, but let's have a bit of a team bonding session here, lads, and we'll all feel good after it. Or I'll do an Al Pacino style speech before the match, any given Sunday type of thing, and everyone will be up for it and we'll all go out and do it, because grief touches people in totally different ways. And everyone adapts to, or everyone has to kind of get on with grief, not get on with it, but like deal with grief in completely different ways, and it hits people in different ways. There's no way in my eyes that Liverpool will be performing like this if Diogo Jota was still alive.
And if you want to hear that chat back in full, you can do so in your OTB Football podcast feed now. And remember, you can listen to live commentary of tonight's game in the Conference League between Shelburne and Crystal Palace from 7 o'clock tonight. It's on the Go Loud app and on News Talk. And it's Stephen Doyle and Keith Tracy on commentary duty. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB Football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.